Blog Talk Radio.
Yakuza! Yakuza! Yakuza Kick Radio!
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 The Yakuza Kick Radio!
This is the Bulldozer, Matt Tremont. And if there's one place to listen to on the internet, every Thursday, 9 p.m., Yakuza Kick Radio. Tremont says so. Who wants some?
God help us, Jesus! God and babies, Jesus! Help us!
Ladies and gentlemen of fucking America, this is Danny Abbott, and you have been listening to, or possibly are intending to listen to, the Yakuza Kick fucking radio. Fucking, yeah! Yakuza Kick radio.
Hell fucking yeah!
My name is Justice Payne, and you are listening to Yakuza Kick Radio.
You're coming to come on Thursday night in
This is a brotherhood, and we all stick together. Like my nuts.
I ain't scared of you, motherfucker.
Yakuza Kick Radio, the best in internet wrestling radio, period, bar none, just like Adam Cole.
Everybody's a cunt but me in the world. I don't know what it is.
But you go to the back, and you tell your boss that there's a new Yakuza in town. And Yakuza Kick Radio, and we're taking over.
Yakuza Kick Radio has risen from the ashes of bad internet radio and become the premier place for any independent professional wrestler to stop and record their voice.
Well, this is Mr. Insanity, Toby Klein, and if you're not listening to Yakuza Kick Radio, then you're weird.
Oh, I don't like the cut of your jib, fella.
This is Greg Excellent, Bearded Dragon of the Northeast. You're listening to Yakuza Kick Radio. If you're not, probably watching porn and you have this muted. You should be listening to it, Jason Mann.
Where are Biggie and Tupac?
Yakuza Kick Radio.
Give a nigga rope one of his cowboy, guys.
All you have to do is listen to Yakuza Kick Radio, but you didn't. Now look at that doctor, homie. Fuck that. Black D. House.
Bullshit, man. Motherfucker.
Fuck you. Fuck you and fuck you. Who's next?
And now, ladies and gentlemen, for the introduction.
Hosted by J-Cat Morris.
You are now listening to Yakuza Kick Radio.
I want you to be fucking powerful in your life.
It is April 9th, 2014. Welcome to Yakuza Kick Radio. I'm your host, J-Cat Morris. You know, quite a week for wrestling fans. Coming off of the weekend of WrestleMania, you know, WrestleCon, all the, you know, indie shows that they did around there. Obviously, big Hall of Fame. But, you know, I have no choice but to start out the show and talk about one thing that stands out way, way ahead of everything to me right now, and that's the passing of the Ultimate Warrior. Just, I got to preface it, you know, talking a little bit about the Hall of Fame thing, but I'm going to go back to the whole Hall of Fame thing afterwards as well. The thing about Warrior, you know, to me was always the guy stood out above and beyond. You know, he completely encompassed what the term larger-than-life figure, larger-than-life character is actually supposed to mean. It didn't mean that, you know, you had to be built as tall as Andre the Giant or, you know, I mean, obviously Warrior was super jacked up, but the aura and the character itself stood out so far beyond everybody else. And obviously you had a few of those characters, the Macho Mans and, you know, people of that, you know, that era that definitely stood within that class. But to me, the Ultimate Warrior was the guy. And I mean, you know, as a kid, that was my dude. You know, I was Ultimate Warrior. I actually had my mom looking for the picture, but I was Ultimate Warrior for Halloween at least once, possibly twice, but I think at least once. I know at least once. And, you know, I had my face done up and shit. And actually, you know, I had my mom make it was like a white sweatshirt, and she did like the Warrior paint on the sweatshirt too, because it's, you know, fucking October and, you know, early teens or, you know, whatever the case was. I forget exactly what age I was. I wasn't, you know, going to be running around with no shirt. I wasn't doing anybody any justice. I didn't look like the Ultimate Warrior. So, as most kids don't. But, you know, that was my dude. That was my childhood hero. I mean, just the intensity of that guy and what you would see on the screen was just that fucking guy, that guy that went out there and just conquered. So to me, that's, I mean, that's what it was. And, you know, obviously over the years, it had become really bad times between him and the WWF, WWE. You know, no communication, and if there was any communication, it was negative. You would hear just, you know, continuous negative things out of him, doing interviews and doing, you know, online things, especially as the, you know, internet era approached, and lots of different things were said. You know, him and Hogan hated each other. You know, one of the biggest matches of all time, Hogan Warrior. You know, you just continuously heard these type of things. But for whatever reason, they were able to do some kind of, I guess, bridge crossing or what have you, and were able to put him in the Hall of Fame. And even leading up to this, there was, you know, his including in the video game, production of figures, you know, the wrestling figures, a couple different things that helped, you know, bridge the gap, and there was things that they couldn't do with his likeness because, you know, there was no communication. There obviously be royalties and everything else. So you could see some form of communication, and, you know, even though those things were going on, it was still kind of a shock to most that he was going to be inducted in the Hall of Fame. I mean, even the weeks leading up to it, you heard that the back office really wasn't happy with it. You know, this was a guy that, and correct me if I'm wrong, anybody out there, but I can't for the life of me think of one other guy in the history of wrestling that the WWF, WWE actually put an entire DVD out trying to bury. You know what I mean? Like, just that self-destruction of the Ultimate Warrior. I've never seen them actually produce a DVD where they just tried to assassinate someone's character for an entire DVD. That was their sole purpose of that. There was no upside of them trying to promote the old days. I mean, they made it to the point where they were shitting on the things that went over so well. I mean, that guy packed arenas. That guy sold tickets like a motherfucker. You know, had all these kids with the Warrior paying this and that. So really, I mean, the DVD, although it sold, and I mean, I even bought it because, shit, as a huge Warrior fan, I wanted to know what they had to say about my fucking guy, you know? And it was just burial after burial after burial, to the extent where, you know, comes time to induct him in the Hall of Fame, you look around, there wasn't a lot of other, you know, a lot of people that didn't completely bury him on the DVD. It came down to Linda McMahon inducting this guy in the Hall of Fame. So, you know, I'll get to that in a little bit, but, you know, just to jump ahead a little, because, you know, with this story, I mean, there's a lot of forward and back with it, but the craziest thing about everything is that, you know, he talked, within his speech, he talked a lot about a bunch of different things, kind of put in perspective on, you know, the way a wrestling career would go and how you should feel about things in life, and there was some hinting around some things there that, you know, really, you know, deep stuff. You wouldn't think too much of all the things that were being said, because a lot of these things do fall into the class of a Hall of Fame speech. You know, you kind of go the distance. You travel from back. Well, this is how I felt, and, you know, this is, you don't realize this until afterwards, and I like to thank this person and that person. So, although some of those words in any other application would sound more of a farewell, it didn't really stand out as that, you know, as that shocking or stunning or like, oh, man, what's going on with him, until afterwards. And even more so, Monday Night Raw. Man, the speech he gave, and I'm actually going to go ahead and play it. This is his Monday Night Raw speech, and then I'll come back after that.
Speak to me, Warriors!
Warriors! As I thought about what I was going to say this evening, it's been hard for me to find the words.
Oh, this is going to be great. There you go. There's the warrior.
Well, then, you shut up, warrior, and let me do the talking. No WWE talent becomes a legend on their own. Every man's heart one day beats its final beat. His lungs breathe their final breath. And if what that man did in his life makes the blood pulse through the body of others and makes them bleed deeper in something than larger than life, then his essence, his spirit, will be immortalized by the storytellers, by the loyalty, by the memory of those who honor him and make the running the man did live forever. You are the legend makers of Ultimate Warrior. In the back, I see many potential legends, some of them with warrior spirits, and you will do the same for them. You will decide if they lived with a passion and intensity, so much so that you will tell your stories and you will make them legends as well. I am Ultimate Warrior. You are the Ultimate Warrior fans. And the spirit of Ultimate Warrior will run forever!
The Ultimate Warrior! The newest member of the Hall of Fame!
Yeah. So there, to me, I mean, there's so much speculation, and I just, you know, have some thoughts on my opinion on things. And, I, you know, again, with all the speculation, I could be completely off. But I think as far as the things that were said there, I mean, the man gave his own eulogy the day before he died. He had already given his Hall of Fame speech. I mean, him coming out and saying those things, that's not just common wrestler speak to come out and start talking about, yeah, you know, we're all going to die one day and our legacy will be carried on by da 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 da. I mean, that's something that maybe he wanted to include in his Hall of Fame speech and didn't know the right way to say it. And you could see a lot of times in that speech, he got choked up. So I think that, I mean, he went back out there to say those things because he knew. My personal opinion, again, this is just opinion. This is just speculation. I have no knowledge of the actual facts of what went on. If I had to guess, I'd say that he was probably diagnosed with something terminal within the past year. And I think that that's probably what bridged the gap between him and WWE on whether he was going to be inducted alive or dead. And I hate to, you know, say that type of thing, but I think he kind of cleared all of his affairs, did everything he wanted to do, got it all out of the way, and he probably took his own life. I don't mean that in any disrespectful way, but just the way that he went out there and eulogized himself, and even there in his Hall of Fame speech, you know, a lot of it comes into perspective. And the Hall of Fame speech during it, you seen his wife out there with the kids and everything, and myself and other people I was talking to at the time, were like, his wife looks batshit crazy. And I agreed. I mean, she looked fucking nutty. I mean, she was like breaking down and like really looking. It makes more sense now. Because then it just looked like, you know, the dude's going into the Hall of Fame. I mean, you're making this crying as if the guy's speaking his last words. And I just feel like they knew. I just really, really do. If you look at, go watch it again. And in retrospect, look at the way she reacts to the different things he's saying. I mean, that shit speaks volumes. And I have a bad fucking feeling about the way the whole thing went down. And like I said, as far as I'm concerned with the connection with him and the WWE, that thing, that was just not going to happen. That was not going to come together. Those two couldn't have been further apart from communication and agreement and anything like that. There was nothing. And all of a sudden, you know, it came together. Now, of course, a few things that could easily, you know, be the factor for that. Number one, in most situations, it's money. And that's the easiest excuse or reason why anyone can turn to it and just say, well, you know, money talks, and, you know, I guess they came to terms on a contract, and blah, 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 end of story. We're all done. Like I said, it could be something health-wise where you go, listen, this is it. I'm going to go out there, do this the right way, do it while I'm alive. You're not going to want to do it after I'm dead. You know, you got the Macho Man passed. He's not in the Hall of Fame. I mean, you got a lot of these guys that they're gone, and then it just leaves a bitter taste as far as when do we induct them, how do we induct them, how do we go about this, you know? And especially a guy like the Ultimate Warrior, who to me is a headliner. Any day of the week, you know, he didn't pack those fucking buildings to, you know, go before fucking Drew Carey on a Hall of Fame, you know what I mean, or anybody else in the celebrity wing that winds up in there. I just have that feeling like it was known. And I could be completely wrong. I'm just taking a guess at it like a lot of people are, but it's too eerie. It's too... the signs were there. I mean, the signs were completely there in retrospect where you go, man. And I'm not, you know, I'm not a conspiracy theorist by any stretch, but when you look at the different things he was saying and the way that he was acting, the way his family was reacting to these things, and even the olive branch of being allowed to go into the Hall of Fame, seeing as a big disconnect as it was, I just, you know. I thought some, you know, things during that speech, too. I didn't clip that speech because it was longer and, you know, I had to cut little pieces here and there. But, I mean, he called DiBiase out because DiBiase had actually recently said that he disagreed with him going into the Hall of Fame, which I think is absolutely ridiculous. Anybody that had that amount of fan following and packed out of many arenas, the amount of arenas and headlined WrestleManias and all these other things, I mean, to think that that guy doesn't belong in the Hall of Fame is just a delusional, ridiculous statement. I mean, Warrior belongs in the Hall of Fame 10 times more than Ted DiBiase ever does. I mean, Ted DiBiase should have that shit taken away from him for what his son's doing with the WWE. Just wasting fucking space. But, it's tremendously sad to me. The guy just meant so much to my childhood and so many other kids out there that just, you know, really looked up to this dude. And, I mean, it's just that type of thing. People try to recreate the size. People, you know, they go out there and they get their fucking Batistas and they get their, you know, all these big jacked up fucking guys, and it really doesn't amount to anything. Because unless you're able to go in there, and I know some people like Batista, I'm just using him as an example, but I think he has zero fucking personality. You know, other than dressing like a fucking teenage girl and, you know, being like super jacked up, I really don't see anything to the guy. But, you know, he's rich off of what he does, so it is what it is. My opinion's really only worth my opinion. But, you know, they get a lot of these guys and they try to just copy and paste a large body and think the larger-than-life persona is going to come through, but it's not that. It's this guy, you know, was on another planet. you know, and well, some of his promos he would tell you he's on another planet. But the things that he would do and, you know, the things that the Macho Man would do, I mean, you just can't duplicate that. It takes, and I know, you know, some of these things were cocaine fueled and everything else, but whatever it was, these guys were on another fucking level, promo-wise and just character-wise as a whole. I mean, you see the thing, he went on the Arsenio Hall show and was climbing on the fucking desk and flipping chairs over and just had that persona that you can't match that easy. I mean, the guy was one of a kind, and he had an absolute drive. You listen to the stuff he said after his career as a wrestler, and, his drive was no bullshit. Like the type of stuff, you know, we've been talking about on here with, about C.T. Fletcher and the way that he feels about shit and just fucking getting it, no excuses and, you know, real talk shit. And, I played that years ago, too, where he was doing the thing, they had the little internet show where he was trying to get bands, some kind of indie bands or some shit, getting them in shape and yelling at them. He was in the parking lot of the Motel 6, you know, and all that stuff. And it was just, you know, obviously extremely amusing because of how fucking intense he was and just how fucking jacked up and fucking hyped and, you know, like a runaway train. I mean, you just couldn't stop what he was doing. The message he was putting across, he wasn't going to be lenient about it. He wasn't going to be quiet about it. He was going to fucking come at you with how he felt or what he was going to try to accomplish. And that was what it was. There was no pumping brakes on the Ultimate Warrior's career. It was full force or nothing. You know, he even said during his speech that, people would criticize him for being blown up. He's like, you know what? I'd fucking, you know, run around that ring. I'd be blown up before I got in the ring because that's how hard I went. That's how he's like, and that's, he's like, you know, I'd blow myself up so much that I could hear my heartbeat in my head, you know, and he's like, that's something that I've craved since I stopped wrestling. That's something, you don't see that type of intensity in life. You don't push yourself to those limits in life. So, you know, people will shit on it because, oh, they walked to the fucking ring and they did a couple of laps around the ring and drank fucking four times out of their water bottle before they hit the ropes. Well, that person didn't get very blown up, did they? Well, yeah, this guy's fucking sprinting to the goddamn ring and, you know, most of the time doing a lap or two around the ring before he even got in it. So I wonder why the guy was blown up. You know what I mean? Because he was putting that out for his persona, for his character, for just the intensity he was trying to put out to set the stage for what it was. And I think it means the world. I really do. Not anyone could just go out there and recreate it. That was what he created. So I'm just deeply saddened by, his loss. Like I said, speculation about how I, you know, what I think, I could be completely off, and it is what it is, man. You know, a lot of people are going to have their opinions and stuff, but I just feel like they knew it was coming, at least from the side of him and his family. I just feel like they knew it was coming. That's too fucking eerie. So, I'm going to take a break. I'm going to play another Warrior clip. That's obviously what I'm kind of dedicating this show to, is the Ultimate Warrior. I'm not doing, you know, an entire Warrior tribute or anything like that. I have, you know, WrestleMania to run down, a couple things from Raw. This show is going to have more wrestling talk than I've talked in probably the past fucking 6 months. But, WrestleMania to talk about. I have, I'm going to run down the Hall of Fame, you know, when I come back. A couple things from Raw. I haven't seen any of the indie shows from the weekend. I think I have one or so of them, but I just haven't got around to watch. I still have Anchorman 2. I got that like a week ago and I still haven't watched that. So just really haven't got around to a lot of things, but, just a couple little tidbits on that. And then I'll, preview Best of the Best coming up this weekend. That'll be my return to attending a wrestling show. That's the first I've been, 2 years now. So that's what's up. Let me play this clip. This one I'm going to play it's a compilation someone made of a bunch of different Ultimate Warrior promos, and it's kind of a lot of what I'm talking about. This guy was on another fucking planet.
and his intensity and the directions he would go in his promos were just matched by none. I mean, it's just, it wasn't just, hey, I'm going to come, you know, I'm going to come down there, I'm going to kick your ass and da, 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 da. He went fucking in. And when, you know, he promos, you half the time you're like, what the fuck is he talking about? But one thing you did know is this motherfucker was intense and you better get the fuck away from him, you know, as far as, especially as a kid, he's like, this fucking dude's serious. Like, I don't even know what half that shit means, but I know he's fucking serious. I know that much. I know whoever the fuck he's fighting, better, shit. They better be ready for that shit. You know, he's just a dude, man. So here goes some of that, and then I'll be back in a minute.
I was sitting at Capital from a place long from here, and I came here for one reason. To attack and keep coming. Not to ask, but just to give. Not to want, but just to sin. Sin the power of warrior. Down everybody's throat in the WWE till I become sick of it. Well, you're gonna get sick of it, because this freaking nature right here is just beginning to swell. And when I get big enough, brother, there ain't gonna be room for anybody else but me and all the warriors float through the veins and the power of the warrior. How must I prepare? You must ask yourself, should I jump up the tallest building in the world? Should I lay on the lawn and let him run over me with lawnmowers? Should I go to Africa and let him topple me with raging elephants? Ah, you can feel it, dude! You can feel it! Load the spaceship with the rocket fuel. Load it with the words. In my final meeting with the gods from the heavens above, as they spoke to me and hit me with the power of the ultimate warrior, they told me, exit stage left! Exit stage right! There is no place to run. All the fuses in the exit signs have been burned out. With the command of my voice, I raise the level of the worst to one that can't be reproduced. Dig your claws into my organs. Stretch into my tendons. Bury your anchors into my bones. For the power of the warrior will always prevail. Family that I live for only breathes the air that smells of combat. With or without the faceplate, I am the ultimate warrior. Ah, the heavens have opened up from above, and the warriors have spoken. You felt the battle make the skies rumble, and the earth shake. Come on in, where nightmares are the best part of my day. I live for anger and frustration. Combat is where I'll be. I look above to the gods, and when you fall below the skeletons of the warrior's past, the power of the warriors will become the eighth wonder of the world. Normal people, the people that walk the streets every day, we cannot understand. Now you must deal with the creation of all the unpleasantries in the entire universe. As I feel the injection from the gods above, I only know that the ultimate warrior is totally out of control.
As you, Hulk Hogan, travel to WrestleMania. Take the two pilots that have already made the sacrifice. Shove that control into a nosedive, Hulk Hogan.
Yeah. So, going into the, well, actually, before I go into the Hall of Fame, just a couple little updates on the bullshit I'm doing. More problems with the fucking truck last week. Just, Jesus Christ, it never ends with this fucking thing. So I come home from the gym the one day, and hear this fucking grinding. And, well, you know, so happens it was the bearings in one of the back wheels that's completely fucked. So that cost me $300, would guarantee that the other side's also going to cost me $300 sometime in the near future. Within the next couple months, I'm going to have to get that done, because that's going to cost me another $300 for the other rear wheels fucking bearings. So continue to spend money on this goddamn truck. So that fucking sucked. I've been continuously pushing myself at the gym, no fucking around. Man, like, my mentality has just been fucking nutty towards it. I keep telling you guys that, but I'm fucking serious. My mentality going into the gym and coming out of the gym every day is I got to put myself through something. You know what I mean? If you just go in there and you do 3 sets of 10 of this and you do 3 sets of 10 of that and you keep the same pace at the same speed on the treadmill every day, that's better than not doing anything, by all means. That's better than not doing anything. But if every time you're in there, you push yourself to your fucking limits in some facet. If you know that, you know, you did this last time and you try to push it a little bit further, do another rep or another set, or you try to up your weight on whatever you're doing consistently and just consistently pushing yourself harder and harder. And, you know, as far as the treadmill goes, you fucking run faster, you know, kick your speed up, do more incline, this and that. Do whatever it is that you were doing last time, better this time, and just continue to push yourself. You should feel like when you're working out that you're putting yourself through something. That's just my thoughts on it, because I think there's no way that you cannot be making progress if you put yourself through some shit when you're at the gym. Yeah, I'm no personal trainer. I'm just going off of my experience of what I'm experiencing as I go. You know what I mean? I have a long way to go, but I know that I'm making the most progress that I've ever made in my entire life as far as training goes, man. I'm going to be a fucking animal by the time, you know, summer comes. Forget it. Just week in and week out, I get better and better and stronger and stronger. And my first race is the 26th, I believe, the end of this month. So I'm really ramping up, getting ready for that shit. You know, I'm just continually pushing and pushing and pushing. A couple gym pet peeves. There's the pull-up machine. There's, like, the thing where, you know, there you could use the pad and, you know, kneel on the pad, and it'll assist you weight-wise in order to do the pull-ups and stuff like that. You know, sometimes I'll do those, and then they have the dip bars on the sides of the same thing. Again, you could use the pad, you can not use the pad, whatever the case is. When I do it, like, I you know, I'm not to the point where I could do, like, a million pull-ups or anything like that, so I like to use the pad with some weight, and I'll do, there's 3 different types of grips. There's, like, the, you know, backward ones, forward ones, and then sideways ones. So I like to do like 7 or 10 of each, like back to back, like 7 this way, 7 that way, 7 that way, and then go to dips and shit. Or, you know, and that's like when I do that, I don't always use that machine or whatever. But my only reason for bringing this up is the dip bars are on your fucking sides. Some motherfuckers decide that they need to dip like on top of the goddamn machine. So they boost their little bitch ass up on top of the fucking bars where you would normally pull up, like straighten their shit up and start doing dips way the fuck up there. I have never hoped for fucking earthquakes in New Jersey more than when I see these motherfuckers up there. Like, come on, man. Like, when it comes down to it, if you're going to work hard, you're going to work harder than anybody in that gym, fucking have at it, man. Do your fucking thing. Kill this shit in here. But you're doing standard motherfucking dips, and you just got to put your little bitch ass way the fuck up in the air so everybody can look at you fucking do dips. There's nothing, like, your arms aren't so long that you get more distance out of doing dips way the fuck up there. There's no actual, you know, there's no application for that shit to be better for you. You're just being a dickhead. So, like I said, I really hope one day that I happen to be there, and we get a crazy-ass Jersey earth, really, we don't get earthquakes. And that shit shakes, and the fucking machine falls on and kills that whoever it is. The one dude always does it. So I really hope it's that dude that gets crushed by the machine in front of me. That's my hopes with that machine right there. So that's that. Another thing is on the fucking treadmills, they have the incline, right? And it goes up to 15 point, I don't know what the fuck
none of these numbers stand for. Like the speeds, I don't know what the fuck that stands for. Is that 3 miles an hour? I don't think so. 3.0 is not 3 miles an hour. No, you wouldn't clear that. I don't know what the fuck they mean. But anyway, goes up, the highest it goes up, right? So I get on there, and that's my starting that day was I'm going to walk uphill for a minute. I walked uphill, I don't mean a minute time, but I was going to walk a mile uphill. So I set it at, 3.0, the speed, and then walked up fucking hill until I hit a mile. So that took me, 20 minutes or whatever. Meanwhile, next to me, this dude is doing his whole fucking shit at, 2-point-something he's got the speed at. The treadmill all the way up at the fucking incline. But he's hanging on to the fucking back of the machine like he's fucking pushing a baby stroller around the fucking gym. I don't understand that shit, and for whatever reason, it fucking irks me. I can't stand motherfuckers who hang on to that shit the entire time. You're fucking lying to yourself. You're not actually fucking walking uphill. Like, dude, if you walk up a real hill, who the fuck do you hold on? What are you holding on to? Do you always fucking push carriages and shit, or fucking, do you always have someone's ass to hang on to when you walk up a fucking hill? Why the fuck are you hanging on to the top of the machine? That shit fucking irks me. And then, they must leave the fucking gym and go, oh, fucking walk 15 minutes and fucking full incline. You ain't do shit. You hung on to the fucking back of the machine and worked your legs halfway. Do you have people lifting half your fucking weight when you do the rest of the machines? That shit fucking irks me, man. And then, some bitches, there's this fat bitch with way too much fucking perfume on today. This bitch was walking a 1.8 or some shit on the speed and holding on to the fucking side rail. I'm like, this motherfucker, she's choking the shit out of me with her fucking perfume. She's walking at a speed that, you could stand there for fucking 30 seconds before you fall off the fucking thing. That's how slow it's going. And this bitch is just fucking holding on to them rails. And I'm not even talking about, morbidly obese, hard to walk normally type bitch. I mean, she was fucking fat, but, come on, man. Seriously, you need to hold on to the fucking side rails. What are you doing? Are you used to fucking skiing where you need to hold on to some kind of rails while you move? What the fuck is going on with this holding on to shit? That's why, with the treadmills, I wipe the machines down and shit when I'm done with them or whatever, but I don't wipe the fucking treadmill down because as far as I'm concerned, I ain't hanging on to shit. If I sweat, I'm sweating on myself. If anything, maybe drip of sweat will get down on the fucking, on the actual tread, but you can't go spray that shit down. Motherfuckers will be dying on the treadmill, which some of these motherfuckers I would like, but, I can't spray the shit you're running on. It'll be all wet. People get killed. So I ain't fucking grabbing no rails, so there's no sweat on that shit. I ain't grabbing the top of the machine like a retard. So it's like I want to do some of that Looney Tunes shit where you saw things halfway through, and then when motherfuckers start going on the incline and they grab the top, it just busts off and they fall to their demise next to me on the treadmill. That I would enjoy greatly. I just don't understand it. I mean, there's options, man. How about turn down the fucking speed or bring your incline down some. Or even if you're going to hold on to the back of the machine, try for 10 seconds to walk without holding on to it. And then maybe next time you could try for 20 seconds. You know what I mean? It doesn't make any motherfucking sense. I'm walking for 20 minutes without touching the goddamn machine, and this dude doing his whole fucking workout holding on to that shit. Like I said, he's slow dancing with a bitch because he's got his arms up there, or maybe a little lower where he's pushing a baby stroller and shit, or shopping. It's you're not putting in motherfucking work, man. It just irks me. I don't know why shit bothers me so much, because it is what it is. Do whatever the fuck you want there, but shit's crazy. And the amount of motherfuckers with phones just disgust me. I don't know why everybody got time to take fucking pictures of themselves or be on the phone or texting and this and that. My shit's in the fucking locker. Because, again, I'm trying to put myself through something while I'm there. I don't know why people's calls are so fucking important, but they're in there. And I see way too many motherfuckers just smiling, hanging out with their friends. Why do you bring your friends to the gym and smile at each other for the fucking duration of what's supposed to be your workout? Why do you do – what the fuck are you doing?
I just looked. Their rest in between sets are like fucking 20 minutes. And they just have like conversations about life and shit. Like, talk about shit they've seen on TV. And where do you have time to do that? I don't understand, like, where that fits into your gym routine. And I don't know. Like, some of these motherfuckers, like, you'll see them and they got some big-ass arms and shit. I don't know if they're shooting some shit at home or what the case is, but they ain't doing shit in the gym to get their fucking arms big. So I don't know what exactly is happening, because they come there to smile at their boys and then go home, because I see this shit happen. I don't really know. Like I said, I only kind of worry about what I'm doing anyway, but you can't help but see these motherfuckers just around you just kind of paying to fucking sit in the gym. Again, that just bothers me, and I don't know why. But so then also I bought headphones this week because it was more or less like therapy and shit, because you know, I keep spending ridiculous amount of money on this fucking truck, and I just needed something. I just needed to like have something that I could enjoy and shit. So I bought these headphones. You know, I always wanted some of those Dre Beats and shit, but the motherfuckers cost like $200-$300. They're crazy. And that's another thing. I have seen more motherfuckers in the gym with these Dre Beats joints on their head. I don't know how the fuck everybody affords these shits. I guess that's why they pay for the gym and don't do shit in there, because they got a lot of money to fucking blow. And then they just hang out with their Dre Beats in the fucking gym. I personally can't work out with them big-ass headphones because my fucking head overheats and I get a headache. So I got to just use, like, the fucking earbud and whatnot. But, so, like I said, the Dre Beats are a little too rich for my blood. I've looked at them a million times, and I really fucking wanted them, but just a little too rich for my blood. Well, I heard Nick Cannon on the Howard Stern show last week, I want to say, and he was talking about that he's got a line of headphones that he hooked up with Monster, who's the same company that makes the Dre Beats headphones. So the Monster is the same fucking company, same technology, same fucking everything, but they're marketed to be sold at a lower price. So where the Dre Beats will cost you $200-$300 something, these will cost you, you know, $100-$200 type shit. The ones I got, like, with shipping, I think it cost like $130 or some shit like that. These things sound fucking amazing. It's like a concert on your head. Like, you hear all the different, like, if, you know, if it's something with instruments, you hear all the different instruments. Like, it sounds like it's surrounding you, like you're at some kind of concert, you know, and then, like, all the rap shit, like, the bass is coming through. Like, I mean, back in the day, you stepped in all motherfuckers' cars, and there was just, like, top-notch. Everybody had a system and crazy fucking sound. Everybody was trying to really show off their shit, so people were spending ridiculous money. I knew motherfuckers that spent more money on the system than they spent on the car. But, you know, crazy shit. But, yeah, this just reminds you of that. Because, you know, I got to thinking, and I was like, well, I listened to most of my music through the little bullshit fucking Apple earbuds and shit. And then a lot of times I get the Sony, there's like sport headphones or whatever, and it wraps around your ear so it'll stay on like no matter what. So it's like an earbud, but it's got like the little ear bracket on it. And those feel good because they're like rubbery, so it don't feel like shit on your head. But I've gone through a bunch of those. I work with cats. Sometimes like I'll be listening to something, all of a sudden if I look down, I feel like a tug and the cat's chewing through the wire and shit. So I've had that go on. I've caught them on shit and just like ripped the wire apart. So I've done like a bunch of dumb shit like that. So the majority of what I do, I listen to, is through earbuds or those little, you know, Sony sport headphone things. So that's all garbage sound. There's nothing good sounding out of that. If I listen to music through my computer, it's just some bullshit computer speakers. And I have, like, you know, the extra thing with the bass, you know, the woofer on the floor with the computer speakers. So it doesn't sound terrible, but obviously not, you know, top-notch. I got a little bullshit radio that will stick the speakers in the back window for the backyard and stuff. But again, little bullshit speakers, you know, $100, $150 little Sony radio type thing. Nothing, you know, nothing that's going to put out sound that impresses anybody. Just gets the music out to where the fuck you're at. And so I thought about it. I'm like, dude, I don't listen to music at all for, like, any fucking where I go. I don't listen to quality sounding music. Like, I listen to tons of fucking music, but I don't listen to any of it in high quality. So I was like, let me do this. Let me get these. I obviously ain't going to wear them to work. I'm not going to wear them to work out. But if I want to at some point, you know, I could sit by the fire. I could sit there. Like last night, I played a game of Madden with like a concert going in my fucking head. And it's just, it's off the chain, man. If it, like, you lose track of that because you can listen to music in so many different ways, but you forget that there's so much better sound quality than just bullshit stock stereos and, you know, Apple iPod fucking headphones. So it's really cool. They're the Incredibles, they're called, like N, the letter N, and then Credibles. And they're the, I think, N-Tune, they're called. And I got the orange ones because that's my favorite color. But yeah, they're off the chain. And they got the wire detaches from them. So, you know, worst comes to worst, you fuck that wire up, I mean, you just get another fucking wire for it. So unless your main, like, headset actually breaks, you're pretty straight with that. And, I just think they sound amazing. So that's, you know, the first I've actually heard music in good quality for a long, long time. But, yeah, I recommend them joints. Like I said, about $130 or whatever. But, I mean, it's well worth the price. So that's that. Let me see. What else do I got? Yeah, I guess I'll go into the Hall of Fame. Hall of Fame, well, actually, to preface that, I actually got the WWE Network last week after I did the show, I think a day or two later. And, you know, I had resisted it for a while, and I just figured, you know, pretty much everything that's available is available for free if you look around. So, you know, great. They have all pay-per-views and shit like this, but who gives a fuck? Like, you can find that shit for free. Most of the shit you can find on YouTube, and then there's other places you can find it if it's not there. But, poll shows and whatever. So, I was just kind of in the opinion, like, fuck it. But then as we were getting closer to WrestleMania, I was like, you know, I do want to watch WrestleMania. And I'm not going to spend the fucking $60 or $70, whatever I spent last year. I actually bought WrestleMania to go on my TV and pay for the high def version. So yeah, I think it was in the $70 range. I was not going to fucking pay that. I would sooner not watch it than pay that shit again. So I'm like, you know what? Let me just get this fucking network. And it works to the PlayStation, so I could, you know, put it on my PlayStation 3. Boom, it's on my TV. Cool. So then, you know, the night before Hall of Fame came on, I'm like, cool, fuck shit, man. It's fucking Hall of Famer comes on here. The Hall of Fame ceremony comes on here. All right. So I watched that shit on there. I highly recommend the fucking the network. And I'll get into why in a little bit, too. But the Hall of Fame started out with Lita. She caught a lot of heat for, you know, her speech and everything like this. It went too long. It bored a lot of people, this and that. Here's my thing. She wasn't ever known for her promos, all right? So we kind of knew that she didn't have the, you know, the talking ability. She didn't have, you know, that type of presence. We knew that. When it comes down to these speeches and stuff like that, I think you got to give a lot of leniency for people. And it's crazy because, you know, I've seen people posting shit, even during the Warrior thing, like, oh, boring, oh, get it over. I mean, dude, that was the fucking last dude talking, so you could have just shut it the fuck off, and you were done watching as soon as you shut it off. Like, I don't understand, like, if you sign up to watch a bunch of people talk, and then you're bored by them talking, what the fuck did you expect them to be doing tonight? So anyway, like I said, I give a lot of leniency because whether they were known for talking or not, they're being honored. This is their one and only moment to be honored, to be standing up there talking and giving, hey, man, think how they feel. They're not known for their voice, for their words, for their, you know, gift of gab or whatever you want to say, promo ability. And they got to go up there and make some kind of fucking speech that sounds like they give a shit. They got to give some kind of retrospect on their career. Something to make it sound fucking special. whether they have, like, natural-born ability to just go up there and do it or not. So to go up there and, you know, tell a little bit about your upbringing and then maybe tell a couple stories, I just think that's par for the course. And I don't think that anything – honestly, I wasn't bored by Lita's speech. I know every fucking buddy else was, but I wasn't. She told a couple stories, and it was what it was, man. Like, I said, you have your moment, and that's it. That's it. Like, Lita's not going to be brought up and fucking honored ever again in her life, I don't think. You know what I mean? If she is, for what and where? Probably nothing bigger to the magnitude of the WWE Hall of Fame. So this is it. So I don't think you get the letter like, oh, fucking, you're being inducted into the WWE Hall of Fame, and you're like, oh, well, I'm not a talker, so I'll just get this done as quick as possible. Who the fuck would have that attitude? You know, I mean, that would show one of two things. Like, you don't give a fuck, one. I mean, that's first and foremost. Or you're really that insecure about your own shit that you're just going to rush through it and not live that moment to the fullest. So, like I say, I give a lot of leniency for that. I believe that she definitely belonged in it. She really she really innovated the look of females. You know what I mean? A lot of them are cookie-cutter divas, blonde, model look, this and that. She had that, you know, that kind of grunge alternative look that nobody went in the direction of, you know, until she did. And then, you know, I mean, girls in the crowd were dressing like that. She was, you know, part of the Hardy Boy faction and Team Extreme. And, you know, she had a whole original look to her. And, you know, too, she did some ladder matches and different, you know, moonsaults to the outside. Like, shit that the girls weren't doing in the WWE. So, I mean, you got to respect what she did put out there. I do think she absolutely deserved it. And, you know, you got to give people a break for what their speeches are because, again, this is their one and only moment. And, sorry, you know, if they weren't known for their promo ability coming up, going to have a little bit of patience. So, that is what it is there. Then after that, you had, Jesus Christ, where is it? After that, you had, I think Jake came after that, right? I want to say Jake came after that. And Jake's awesome, man. You know, the thing is this is a guy who, you know, should have been in years ago, but just couldn't. I mean, his demons kept him out of that Hall of Fame. I'm going to go a little bit more into that in a minute after, you know, I hit the second guy. But, yeah, I mean, just great talk. I mean, the guy was straight up, went out there and said, you know, did the whole, you know, as they say, pop the crowd, and they do the whole comparison of sex and, you know, where you climax and all that. And he went into that whole shit as his fucking Hall of Fame speech. So I thought that was cool, and he really, you know, is a dude that just – above and beyond deserves it. It's just really, really good to see him be able to do that shit alive. You know, obviously, he wouldn't be doing it dead. But, you know, the honor was going to be bestowed upon him, but the fact that he was able to do it alive and actually go out there and say something is just really good. It's really good to see him out there. Definitely deserved it. That's that. Next up, I believe it was, I think he was third instead of second. I think Jake was second. I could be off. Next up was Mr. T. And throughout his speech, was continuous talk.
You're so pathetic, Jack.
I thought about this
long
before he even mentioned the song. I immediately started thinking about it. I started singing it to myself.
Well, your
mother,
is so
there is no
wait,
other. I started thinking this shit. I'm just like, man, this fucking guy.
So remember, when you put down one mama, you put down mother.
This dude had like 100 fucking brothers and sisters and shit. He's like, I was the 24th boy in the family. I'm like, oh, shit. And then he must have said everything under the sun to honor his mom, but Jesus Christ, he didn't mention wrestling. He did not mention wrestling. So if you want to come down on Lita, for Christ's sake, I know, you know, he obviously got thrown in there too, but...
There is no other.
I mean, come on, man. Mr. T. And it's funny because he started off this shit, and he had like this robotic statement. He's like, and I hope I do not bore
anybody with what I got to say. Thank you. And then just go, my mama this, my mama this, my mother this, we're what it is, my mother that. And I'm like, oh, this motherfucker is just not going to stop. And then at some point, after saying he had like fucking 17 brothers or some shit, he goes, and my brothers, and I'm like, oh, he's going to start running these motherfuckers down, man. This shit is going to be fucked. Oh, man. And then there was a part where, like, he seemed like he was wrapping it up, and then he came back, like, he brought it back around, and he's like, and that's another thing about my mama. I was like, oh, shit, here he goes again. Oh, shit, he's like completely unstoppable with his mom. It's like, shit, you know, honor all you want, but god damn it. That motherfucker was like, you couldn't have wrote a comedy bit that went that excessive. I mean, if he would have just bust out laughing afterwards, he'd be like, oh, that motherfucker got it. But no, he was that ass serious to the point where Kane actually had to fucking come out and just fucking shake his hand like, you know, what's up, motherfucker. And then walk back out, and then he's like, yeah, ain't gonna fuck it. And then he's like, sorry, sorry about that, everybody. Like, oh, fuck, man, that was some crazy shit. I couldn't have seen that fucking coming. Then I think Carlos Colon was up next, man, I wasn't there. I don't know. I've just heard every bit I've heard about that he had everything to do with Bruiser Brody's death. I just didn't think he should have been there. I'm sorry. I mean, there's just a million fucking people, you know. Obviously, you're not going to cram them into the same thing, and you're not going to, you know, do the thing with that. But, I mean, the Macho Man Randy Savage is not in the fucking Hall of Fame yet. Let's be fucking real. I mean, the Steiner brothers as a tag team are not in the Hall of Fame. The Hart Foundation is not in the Hall of Fame. I mean, there's a lot of people not in the fucking Hall of Fame. And, again, the Macho Man's going to have a standalone year, which I believe will probably end up being like, I would want to say 2 years from now and he would headline it, but it's also hard to have a guy headline it when he's gone. I think The Undertaker will headline next year. I could be wrong. I think Paul Bearer was in there. But anyway, I'll finish talking about him. Whether the order is screwed up or not, it's just my feelings only. So I just had like a bad like taste in my mouth about Carlos Colon being out there at all. Just because, you know, Bruiser Brody, I thought meant so much more. And the potential of him just being just an enormous star, one of the, you know, best brawlers in the history of wrestling, just could have accomplished so much more if his life wasn't cut short. And if someone was actually there and facilitating it and really involved in his fucking murder, I don't feel like they should be inducting the dude into the Hall of Fame. That's just me, but, you know, it is what it is. Paul Bearer, it's one of those things where, you know, again, you wish the guy could have been inducted while he was alive. Kane came out there and did the thing. They had his sons out there. Personally, I think the shit with The Undertaker is fucking corny. I thought when he did it in the ring after Paul Bearer died, I thought it was extremely touching and it was the right way to do it there. This whole The Undertaker doesn't break fucking gimmick, and he's got to protect his fucking gimmick and protect this and that, and he can't be a fucking real dude at a Hall of Fame speech, especially for a guy who's dead. He can't come out there and just say a few fucking words and act like a human being. Like, the dude's, you know, getting pictures with his wife in the off season, like not even a off season, but it's for him. But not this year, the year before last WrestleMania, where he had pictures on the internet of fucking looking like Christopher Lloyd with the fucking bucket hat. I mean, it just looked like fucking absolute shit. And, you know, all those years he was the American badass. He wasn't protecting the Undertaker dead man gimmick there. He was just a jerk off with a spiked haircut coming out to Fred Durst music. Let's get fucking real with it. You know, it was a horrible fucking thing.
when it comes down to paying tribute to someone who is legitimately dead and being honored for their life, you could drop the fucking gimmick for 5 minutes, for Christ's sakes. And my other thing about that, to jump ahead a little bit, fucking protect the gimmick. How about fucking retiring when it's time instead of wrestling fucking 2-3 years beyond your fucking, your welcome, and then looking like absolute shit dragging yourself around the ring? Try protecting the gimmick through your fucking, your work. I would think that's more important than fucking not honoring someone's fucking death and speaking like a human because you're protecting the gimmick, but you'll walk around the ring looking like somebody drunk at a fucking barbecue. You know, that's not protecting the gimmick. I'm sorry. That's fucking horrible. Horrible. I'm not going to jump into that too much. But so that's that. You know, dude belongs in, obviously. And, you know, Kane was able to stand up there and speak like a human. You know, I just wish The Undertaker could have, you know, doing the same fucking thing that he did in the ring. I think that didn't need to be done. I don't think that's just like a... And I heard some people, you know, typing on the internet, oh, class act. Like, dude, he did the same fucking tribute in the ring. If he hadn't done it then, which obviously you had to acknowledge it and do it then, but if he hadn't done it then, I guess maybe, but there's nothing original about it, and there's nothing just that, you know, he got his own little fucking blue light entrance, and then he fucking did the urn thing just like he did last year. It just didn't need to go down in gimmick. You know, the fucking... The Hall of Fame inductions, I don't think, belong in gimmick. I don't think the guys are going to come out there and cut a fucking promo for their acceptance. So cut the shit, you know what I mean? So that's, again, just my opinion on it. Scott Hall, another guy who deserved it tremendously. I would have liked to hear Scott talk actually a little bit more than he did. Just excellent. I mean, he belongs in there 100%. And I just, my thing is, and I said it online on Facebook or whatever, but I think DDP absolutely belongs inducted next year. Number one for, you know, what he did in the ring, starting off at the age that he did and accomplishing what he did at an age where, you know, pretty much anyone would say that it is impossible to start off at that age. I'm fucking 36 now. That's like me just going and fucking trying to become champion now. Like, no fucking way. You know? You know, he went out there and he accomplished everything he wanted to in such a short period of time as far as his, you know, advanced age, so to speak. But also what he's done after the fact in the, you know, the DDP yoga and getting these guys, well, I really don't think either Jake Roberts or Scott Hall would have been inducted alive, and it would have been years after their death because it wouldn't have been, you know, it wouldn't have been anything positive about their death. There wouldn't have been like, oh, untimely passing because of some tragedy. It would have been, you know, drugs, those type of things. They passed because of that, and the WWE wouldn't want to touch it for fucking years because of that. And these two guys completely deserve it. So for Diamond Dallas Page to be able to turn these guys around and fucking give two legends the ability to be inducted and honored while they're still alive, that and him, his career combined, I think there's no question about it. He should be inducted next year. That's, you know, I mean, if you disagree, then, I mean, you should really think about what I said as far as the induction of those other two guys, because it wouldn't have happened without him. So as much as they deserve it, you know, obviously they accomplished more than Dallas did in the ring. It wouldn't have been honored. It wouldn't have been looked at the same way without him. So personally, I think he deserves the nod. And it's not like he was a jobber. He definitely accomplished enough in the ring. So then obviously there was the Ultimate Warrior, which, like I said, a lot of, you know, bittersweetness to it now, but the fact that he was able to go out there and speak his mind and really tie up the loose ends that were out there for years, to just really out there and acknowledge, hey, you know, if that's self-destruction, then maybe you guys should go out there and practice my form of self-destruction, because it looks like I'm headlining
a Hall of Fame ceremony right now, years later. So, you know, apparently you couldn't avoid putting him in, even though you went out of your way to bury his character and try to assassinate his character. You know what I mean? He called Ted DiBiase right out, you know, saying that, like, oh, because everybody wanted to say what a sloppy wrestler he is and how he'd hurt everybody. Yeah, yeah, Ted, yeah, I remember all the, you know, early years where, you know, I went home with my throat hurting because you would hit me in the throat with a clothesline every time you threw one. So, you know, hey, hey, Teddy, where you at? And, you know, actually pointed him out so that way he could at least get that, you know, that feeling, you know, without being like a huge asshole about it. And, you know, he really, I think, did his thing with that speech. And he wasn't, you know, didn't just go out there and blurt out a bunch of things and be inappropriate. I thought everything was completely appropriate. He made some really good statements. He even said, you know, he thinks that the ring crew, he thinks like guys that spend years and years on the ring crew and continue to help these shows go on and travel all over the country and are just unsung heroes because of the work that they put in, there should be guys along those lines. There should be a wing dedicated to them, and they should start getting their due too. And, I mean, that's a selfless act. A lot of people, you know, would put different things on him and say, you know, he's this, he's that. Well, but that's a completely selfless act for him to go out there and really try to give somebody else due that isn't noticed, that isn't talked about. And now the Warrior's gone and the seed's been planted. You know what I mean? Like, there's a lot to that. You know, and he didn't really acknowledge the whole Hogan thing because Hogan shit on him a lot over the years, too, and he shit on Hogan. But Hogan, I guess, leading up to it, called him a good guy, and he acknowledged that without even saying Hogan's name. So another guy, you know, I had some of the best matches in my career with. He said, I'm a good guy, and I think that's nice. It's very respectful. You know what I mean? Like, he really stayed safe with the topics and stayed safe with his beefs with these different people, but in the same token, didn't skate around them. He addressed them. He addressed the people who buried him and bashed him, and he still, you know, was able to do it in a diplomatic fashion, and I thought it was really good. He said, I mean, for that guy to be inducted alive, especially if they knew something was going on, and I'm dying to find out what the actual reality of all that is, because I really feel like they knew. And that was the right thing to do. I'm glad he was able to bury all of his hatchets and get the statements out there. He was able to get out there. I mean, that means a lot. You know, I'd been talking about this a lot, you know, recently, especially, you know, since the sobriety and stuff. And, you know, I've said a lot of that stuff. Like, what's your legacy going to be? What are you going to be remembered for? You know, and those type of things. And, you know, I've just been thinking a lot along the lines of those mentalities. And it's very profound things that he went out there and said. And I think it speaks volumes, especially when a guy passes, all of a sudden these things resonate and really settle in with people a lot more so than they maybe would have. It's kind of like that martyr situation, you know? It's like sometimes people got to die for their words to really, you know, settle in with people. And I got what he was saying, you know, in his life too. But I think a lot more people will kind of tune into it now. A lot more people are actually going to focus in and go, oh, yeah, abso-fucking-lutely. So I'm hoping it makes an impact on some people out there. You know, I'm going to keep talking my shit too. Because, you know, as it goes, man, you only have a voice as long as you're alive. If you don't say what you got to say before you're gone, it's fucking it. That's it. You only got one chance. You got to make it count. You got to make every bit of this shit count. You could be gone tomorrow. Heck, I was out there speaking his fucking mind in the ring, talking about legacy and how the fans helped, you know, make his legacy live on no matter what happens, and the next day he was dead. So whether it was fucking the wildest coincidence ever or he knew, that's the fucking truth. Is, you know, your legacy will live on as far as others speak about it, but it's really up to you to make your life mean something while you're here. Say what you got to say, do what you want to accomplish, and do it to the fucking fullest, because you're not going to have a second chance at a lot of things. So
Don't go fucking half speed on anything. Fucking go all in or don't. You know, if you're a lazy motherfucker and you don't want to work a day in your life, fucking do every fucking thing you can to acquire the money and acquire the ability to lay on your fucking ass if that's exactly what you want to do. You want to travel to another fucking country, bust your fucking ass, do whatever you got to do. Travel to that fucking country. Make whatever money you got to get to where you want to be, because you don't know when that fucking that clock is going to end and you're not going to be able to go where you want to go. You know, you want to teach your kids a certain way. You want to, you know, correct the mistakes that maybe your parents made when they raised you and instill them in your kids. Well, you only got this one fucking shot, because that's it. And, you know, we carry on the last generation, and whoever told us something, if it resonates with us, we get the chance to carry it on. And then when we're gone, someone else gets a chance to carry on what we put out there. So put out there some shit that means something to somebody. You know, yourself, and then obviously, you know, people that are involved with you or people who are actually, you know, family or friends or just someone that maybe hears your voice. Maybe something will resonate that you say that can affect generations. I mean, it's something to think about, because, like I said, you know, here today, going tomorrow is not just a cliche. It's the motherfucking truth. So anyway, I'm going to take another break. I'm going to come back, talk about WrestleMania, touch on a couple other things, a little bit of Best of the Best thing, and that's that. Here's Warrior in one of his inspirational speeches when he's talking, and this was, I think, last year, the year before. So yeah, check it out.
Wake up, sleeping beauties. It's another day in the life where you have a choice. Will you love it or will you hate it? As you sit on the edge of your bed before you plant your feet on the sacred ground of an earth you have been honored to live upon, will you sit there with your head and shoulders slumped, your chest caved in, sit there like a bag of shit? Or will you sit with your chin thrust out, ready to take the first full blow from the ugly genius fucking reaper? Will you sit there with your chest stuck out, full of fury and intensity to take on any challenge that lies in this day? There are two doors, and there are thundering knocks at each one. Behind one lies your destiny, the greatness that you came here to fulfill in your life. And behind the other lies death. The critics, the naysayers, the soldiers of Mr. R. They bitch, whine, and complain. They warn, warrior man, tone down the intensity. We don't want you to have a heart attack. Life is not worth living without passion, without intensity. Warrior men, what's your passion? My passion is fucking passion. Intensity for life, whatever you do. Today is the day. Today is the day. You start building your own wall of bodies. Like in the movie Spartan 300, where they built the wall of the dead bodies, of the sacrifices. Today you build yours. No matter what level of fear and lack of confidence you hold in yourself, today, one time today, one time, when you hear somebody say something, give an opinion, or comment on something you disagree with, have the courage to speak up and say, I disagree. If you don't have the courage to say anything else, say that. If you hear some bullshit that doesn't sit well with your world and the real world you live in, do that much. do that much. Put the first body in your own wall of bodies. Choose your own medicine. You're welcome for this injection of inspiration. A full blown fucking dose.
That's what the fuck I'm talking about. That's some energy. That's some inspiration. That's somebody telling you to go fucking get it. And that's, you know, that's why even, you know, post Ultimate Warrior's career, that dude was an absolute inspiration. And, you know, that warrior mentality goes far beyond a gimmick. So, you know, keep that in mind. Anyway, WrestleMania started out with, well, the post-show match that had the Usos, Ryback, Curtis Axel, Jack Swagger, and Cesaro versus Los Matadors. I actually missed this. I was, I forget what I was doing. Doing something. I think I was maybe getting the fire ready or something along these lines. But, because I was, well, yeah, the one thing that came out of that definitely at the end was Cesaro turned on Jack Swagger and gave him a big swing and stuff, you know, big turn. So that was awesome. Definitely caught the tail end of that, you know, replays as they were starting the thing. So anyway, just to go in quick, why I fucking absolutely adore this fucking, this network. As I said, I put the network on my TV through my PS3, and I put it on my iPad as well. I started a fire outside, got a new fireball. It's pretty fucking awesome. It's got like a checkered, you know, open box pattern on the side, so it's like a deeper bowl. It's not like one of those dish type things. It's like a, you know, like a deeper bowl, but the side has like square holes cut out in it, so you can actually, you know, see the fire through there, and obviously, you know, lets off some heat out the sides too. Good thing anyway. But so I got a nice fucking fire going out there. I got the thing going on my iPad, and I got the WrestleMania on my TV too. So I'm able to, I felt like fucking advanced and shit. I felt like some kind of rich motherfucker, man. I got to, like, I know they got the thing with the NFL, but I don't have the dish or the NFL package or any of that stuff. So never before have I been able to have something live, like a live event on my TV and in the palm of my hand at the same time. And then I could just go fucking walk around my house with it. You know what I mean? Like, I go to the bathroom, I go sit fucking WrestleMania on the counter while I'm taking a piss, fucking bring that shit back with me. Or I could take it out to the yard, which I was consistently doing, go out there, watch a little bit, fucking hang out by the fire, pop back in, watch it on the bigger screen. I just had complete freedom. That shit was cool as fuck, man. And I'm going to, I mean, now I got the shit, so I'm going to do this shit. I'm going to watch WWE pay-per-views, because I never really gave a shit about them, but especially now, fucking great season for that, to be inside, outside, to fire and everything. I'm fucking chill heavy out that bitch watching the WWE pay-per-views and shit. So, yeah, it's pretty cool, man. I never had any experience, anything remotely even close to that, and WrestleMania is as the set-off to that shit. It was just cool as fuck. So anyway, so then, yeah, started out the show, Hogan, The Rock, Stone Cold, all in the ring. Hogan's calling it this fucking Silverdome and, you know, whatever. You know, the whole deal. Then you had the start, Daniel Bryan taking on Triple H. Triple H, you know, coming out with his fucking big grandiose fucking look. He looks like a gold Shao Kahn and shit. He's got his throne and the fucking skull helmet and the big fucking spiked shoulder blades. There's no way this dude wasn't like a Mortal Kombat fan at some point, because that shit is like a gold Shao Kahn to me. So anyway, he's got all these dudes fucking grandiose entrance. He's got his wife in the ring. Oh, now it's Triple H, and fuck off. So Daniel Bryan goes on to win that match, and you know, I mean, you kind of expected that.
So he goes on to win the match. After the match, you know, Triple H attacks the shoulder even more, hitting him with a chair. You know, fucks him up. So, you know, they're working the shoulder. He went in with the, you know, quote-unquote hurt shoulder, and they continue to work that. So that was going to be the angle of the night as far as that goes. And, you know, really, you know, smacked his shoulder up with the chair afterwards and, you know, did the whole thing. So that, you know, that was good. As expected. So then you had the Shield versus Kane and the New Age Outlaws, and this was just a fucking squash. Like, I didn't expect that. I had heard something about somebody, I think like Billy Gunn or one of them, could have been Road Dogg, got hurt or something during the thing, but yeah, fucking squash, like complete squash on WrestleMania. For the life of me, I can't understand that. Unless there was, you know, a real bad injury or whatever, and they just took it home. But that shit was quick. There wasn't a lot of offense at all by the fucking New Age Outlaws and Kane. They just fucking ran through them. So, that's what it is. Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal deal. Cesaro goes over and, you know, body slams the Big Show over the top rope. Big and fucking impressive show of strength. That dude's a beast. And the internet blows loads all over their keyboards. You know, and it's seemingly a face turn because, you know, obviously he's getting over Big. He's doing things. The crowd's popping for him. They're chanting Cesaro, Cesaro. And, yeah, the internet's annoying, man. Like, even when I like a dude and I'm really happy for him because they're on the indies and I'm pulling for him and this and that, like, it's just really fucking annoying. Like, I don't need people jumping up and down telling me it's the best WrestleMania moment in the history of the WWE. You know, I don't need you telling me that dumb shit. I mean, that's the most ridiculous, asinine statement that you can possibly make. Just because an indie guy accomplishes something, that's really a minimal accomplishment. Obviously, it's good to get pushed in any stretch, but, like, you win Andre. How many years has fucking Andre the Giant been dead? This is his first Memorial Battle Royal. And the guy wins that as a little push, and it's like, that's the best thing in the history of wrestling. Like, oh, fuck yourself. I like every bit of it. And then the fucking fans make me go, oh, fuck. Every time one of these fucking indie guys do something, and I, again, it's some shit that pops me that I'm fucking happy about and everything, and then these motherfuckers act like their twin brother just fucking got, you know, got put into the White House, you know what I mean? Like, they were just nominated president. They were just elected president. I was looking for elected. You know, their twin brother was just elected president. They act like every fucking time an indie guy wins a fucking a match, not even a title. Fuck. So anyway, then John Cena and Bray Wyatt had their match. This was actually good. I enjoyed it. I really, really like what they're doing with the Wyatt character. He is playing that shit fucking phenomenally. When he did the thing and he grabbed Cena's head and he started singing, I got the whole world in my hands. Like, that shit was hilarious. And the whole thing just went really well. And he's got the crowd starts swaying back and forth and shit. Like, they're swayed by it. Oh, man. Like, he is really, really doing it well. You know, the way he's playing it, too, he could just kind of be a tweener, and the people who follow the buzzards, but he just continues to be a bad guy attacking who he wants to attack. You know what I mean? You know, like, a heel character could play a bad character without having to go, I don't like you fans, stop clapping. Like, you could actually just play a villain, and if people support the villain, people support the villain. Obviously, you're going to be attacking the guys who are supposed to be faces, so, I mean, it all kind of sorts itself out in the end. And, you know, I mean, Cena's always been the character he is. I mean, he's, you know, never going to be a heel because he's always the guy that, you know, make-a-wish kids all over the place and, you know, T-shirt selling maniac. I mean, the dude, it is what it is. He's going to appeal to the crowd he appeals to, which is mostly children, and that's all it needs to be. You don't like the character, whatever. I guess you could cheer for the heel in this match, but it is what it is, and I just think the Wyatt gimmick is so fucking good. I think he works it to perfection. I really do. So much different and everything else. And again, with you fucking garbage, trash bag wrestlers, cunts, how would he look in a fucking pair of tights? How would he look out there in just fucking underwear? Do you think that fucking, that would translate better? He was just out there, all three of them were out there in just fucking spandex, holding onto the rope in the corner, tagging each other. You want to be all fucking standard? Fuck out of here. It just annoys me. So anyway, then the Streak versus the Beast Incarnate. Fucking, you know, horrible fucking match. Horrendous fucking match. The Undertaker looked like absolute shit. Absolute shit. Dragging himself around the thing. It was funny, too, because I'm thinking about it while I'm watching the match. I'm like, you know what? The Undertaker was the only guy smart enough to actually create a gimmick where he didn't have to sell. I mean, you imagine if half the indie guys that take, you know, 30 super kicks in a match, if they had a gimmick that made it make sense, like, oh, I'm dead, so obviously I don't feel super kicks. you know, it would kind of make sense, but. And I don't fault him for that at all, because again, it's within his gimmick to just kind of keep pushing forward and not, but you know, it's a different way of wrestling than everybody else is doing, because everybody else kind of has to sell your moves, and he just kind of pops out of it like he would do, you know, the pop-up move back in the day, which I don't even remember him doing in that match. It just seemed like he was completely out of sorts, just completely fucking dragging himself through the match. It said sometimes the way he was standing there, and I just don't think it was selling. He just looked out of it and kind of stumbling around like it just – shit, man. He just looked like a guy who didn't need to be there, didn't need to be there at all. And, you know, Brock going over, it is what it is. But personally, I don't understand the point. I don't understand the point of a guy who's already over as a beast. Okay, he beat the Undertaker streak. Now the Undertaker retires, and then he just has one loss on it. Like, you put a blemish on that, but I don't think it sways Brock Lesnar one way or another. I really don't. I mean, he's a beast, okay? He was a beast before, okay? What the fuck? You know what I mean? Like, it, to me, it doesn't make any sense. I honestly think he should have retired 2 years ago. He should have went out at 20-0 and just called it that. Personally, and if they really wanted to do something, I think what they should have done, if he had it in him so much that he really, really wanted to, and this and that, what he should have done is, you know, they have a lot of that, you know, that reality. Everybody's calling each other by their real names and calling them out there like that. Why not end your fucking career as The Undertaker at 20-0? And then have a guy last year like CM Punk, especially with the shit that happened with Paul Bearer, and they played up off of that and the urn and all that, have him call him out. I want you, this and that. And that, you know, he retired and this and that. And then he starts calling, Mark, fucking, you know, come out here. I don't give a fuck about any of that. And then he comes out as Mark Calloway. And then he's not the Undertaker. Well, maybe he pulls off that match out of, you know, desperation, or he pulls that off out of, you know, just drive, you know, emotion because of the Paul Bearer thing. And then, you know, maybe you work something in there where the urn gives him a little power, or it does give him a little bit of that Undertaker thing, even though it's not what he's wrestling at anymore. And then he loses the following year as himself, again, being called out by Brock Lesnar. Because you could even go back and play up on the reality angle where he did show up at the UFC fight and say, hey, you want to do it? That was, you know, a couple years ago, and you could even play that saying, remember this, you know, fucking did it. I'm sure you got to pay Dana a bunch of fucking money just to do it, but you do that type of thing. And then, wow, he fucking lost. Well, the Undertaker streak was 20-0. But once, you know, once the Undertaker went away, him just as a man wasn't quite as powerful or something like that. I don't know. I think he should have retired as a whole 2 years ago. That's it. Point blank. But if you had to fucking throw him in there, you had to make something, then make something that makes it a little bit, you know, believable, or some kind of sense added to it. I just don't understand, like, you know, going another 2 years and now he's 21-1. What does that do? My only thing is I really hope that they re-sign Brock to a long-term contract, and maybe this was part of it, because I think Brock is extremely valuable to the WWE. I think this is a guy who, I mean, you need that fucking guy in your company. You need a beast. He is the definition of beast. I mean, he's fucking awesome. You know, his strength, his size, his, you know, just the intimidation factor. I mean, the dude's got it. For what he's supposed to be, he is fucking that. And he's got Paul Heyman as a mouthpiece because, you know, he's not a great talker. So all that comes together, and it's fucking great. But, I mean, imagine he just – if there is no more contract or if there is no extension, I got to think there is. I just got to, because I think he only had so many appearances within that last contract, and they got to be, like, up. If not up, like, he probably has, what, fucking 2 or 3 more, and then he's gone. Imagine he just re-signs with fucking UFC or he goes wherever and then he just fucking buried the streak for someone who may or may not come back. I can't imagine that's the case. So I just didn't understand it. I wasn't, like, really upset about it. I was shocked. Obviously, everyone was shocked. My man fucking ringside was shocked as shit. he's on all the pictures. Everybody's got a, you know, shocking as shit, but man, all right. I mean, do what you got to do with it. I mean, I was never the biggest Undertaker fan in the world. I do have the autographed Undertaker picture on my wall. But, you know, I mean, got to respect the dude for what he's did over the years. And I just think the streak was one of those things that, you know, for a while it was meaning more than the title matches. The title matches were what they were. They swung whatever way. But the Undertaker match, that was fucking streak cannon, this and that. And for so many years, it would be like, you know, they build it up and build it up and build it up. So you thought, maybe this is the year. Maybe this is the year. And then completely gone. Like, the belief that he would ever lose the streak was gone. So, of course, the shocking ending with him winning it. But, okay, then what? It's not like this is going to build to an angle where there's a rematch next year. Please, God, tell me that there's no rematch next year. I just can't imagine that there's anywhere to go with it. I don't know. So, just kind of baffled. Just don't really get it. Like I said, I'm not offended by it. I'm not fucking upset by it. Just kind of confused more than anything. You know, shocked by the outcome and then just kind of confused. I'm like, okay, now what? Yeah, Brock being a beast is, that was a foregone conclusion. That wasn't something that you needed to put The Undertaker away with, you know what I mean? I honestly thought, like, if CM Punk was the guy to lose the streak, you know, or to beat the streak next year, that would have been somewhat of a real passing of the torch. One more thing to show, like, CM Punk had his crazy title run, then on top of that, he fucking wins and fucking beats the streak, then wow, this is the fucking guy for the future. This is their future face of the WWE, as if, like, the plate, you know, the table wasn't already set for it. He is also the guy to put away The Undertaker. Well, you know, we see a year later, Punk's, you know, kind of not feeling it, whatever. But, and I'm a CM Punk guy. I'm not one of these fucking douchebags that's going to go all, oh, fuck CM Punk, oh, fucking asshole. Whatever, dude. He busted his fucking ass to get where he was. And he accomplished more than fucking anybody else coming off that fucking indie circuit. And what he did and held the belt for all that fucking time. And they obviously, after originally not even liking him. And then that was all the rumors that Triple H didn't even fucking like the dude. And then they ended up giving him that tremendous fucking title reign because he earned it through his fucking work and his mic work that fucking completely captured everybody. And he made people fucking hate him when he was a heel, and he made people like him when he was a face. And when he walked away with the fucking belt, you know, with the Cena thing, that shit was over like a motherfucker. So people can shit on Punk all they fucking want. That fucking guy did his job above and beyond and did a fucking great job of doing so. So I ain't shitting on fucking Punk. Fuck that. And another thing is, you know, this dude did all this shit drug-free and everything like that. How many people just fucking powered through with the fucking somas over the years and painkillers and shit like that, and the fans were just, oh, okay, yeah, he's still there. Yeah, great. But he did what he you know, he took that other route to power through. It's no big fucking deal. And then when people end up in fucking rehab years later, it's like, oh, what a piece of shit. Like, oh, well, that's what he needed to do to power through his fucking career and show up every fucking year. And, you know, it is. I don't know if that's specifically the reason, but the dude wanted fucking WrestleMania main event. He's wanted it forever. They've continuously given some – they brought Batista back because they wanted another big guy. So they got him back. They copy-pasted him into the main event picture. Obviously, that's going to fucking offend someone who one of their main goals was headlining WrestleMania, and then, oh, Batista's back out of nowhere. Now he headlines WrestleMania? Oh, shit. It could have been Randy Orton and fucking CM Punk and Daniel Bryan in a three-way, but they wanted the big fucking dude, the quote-unquote larger-than-life character, even though, as I said, not that easy. So anyway, main event, you got the three-way, and they played it up really well with Orton and Batista kind of tagging up and really trying to take him out. They did that shit with him on the table and, you know, bust his arm on the table. Holy shit, though. You know, obviously, Brian had to sell the shit out of that, but fucking Orton took a back bump on that fucking monitor. Holy shit, why would you not move that monitor? Everybody always fucking, and there was two people that, well, one of them could have grabbed the TV each or something, but man, he grabbed that fucking monitor, hit him in the small of the back, man. I know it cut him a little bit of blood, but that shit had to hurt tremendously. Holy fuck, he destroyed himself on that shit. And, yeah, so, but, you know, they did the whole stretcher thing, you know, came back, fucking, you know, won the thing, and the crowd went fucking bananas. And, you know, that's the way that they had to end it. They had to give Daniel Bryan the title after this long, long chase. And to do it at Mania was, I think, excellent. And, yeah, he definitely forgot about selling that shoulder after he won the title. It's like the title was the magic elixir to fix his shoulder that was been worked all night going into the pay-per-view fucking banged up. But, you know, it is what it is. You can say adrenaline got me through. It's fine. But, yeah, I think that's awesome shit. I think Mania was pretty good. I mean, everything considered. I said I hated that fucking Undertaker match. I can't imagine someone. I mean, the way that if you watch what they called the last ride powerbomb off the top rope, that shit looked just disgusting. I couldn't even believe they went, oh, it's the last ride. I'm like, oh, please stop it. Just stop it now. But, and I hate the Hell's Gate submission fucking more than any other submission in all of wrestling. I hate that fucking submission. I'm like fucking bugging out. I'm like, you know, obviously I'm thinking Brock's definitely losing. He's absolutely losing. Please don't let the legit MMA fighter tap out to that stupid fucking submission. That's just, oh God, I hate that fucking submission. So anyway, that was that. And then Monday, just real quick, what happened? They did the AJ thing. AJ went out there. Paige came out and did, like, you know, AJ more or less said, yeah, it's going to be a match. I'm going to kick your fucking ass. And Paige is like, no, I'm not ready for that, whatever. And they just have Paige beat her for the title. My big problem with that is I think that's great. I thought it was excellent that they did it. Man, that finish was fucking botched. It was the only fucking, like they say on those memes, you had one job. That was the one and only thing that had to be hit, and it was fucking crazy botched. I mean, you had to fucking stick that finish and then get the quick pin. I mean, especially, you know, someone holds it for, what, she had a 295 days or some shit. Like, dude, you can't have a half a finish. I don't know. It was just, I felt bad for her, man, because it was, like, deserved. I think she's going to be a star. She's going to do excellent. They really need her up there. in the women's division, and I was just like, oh, I finished, fuck. I just, you know. So, yeah, I just would have loved to see that actually hit well. She did that fucking, oh, man. I forget who does that. I've seen several people do that move and do it well. And I'm pretty sure I've seen her do it pretty well on the NXT show. But it was just for whatever reason, that one, they just, I don't know if they rehearsed that a bunch of times or whatever, but they damn sure should have and made sure that that shit was stuck fucking completely. But, yeah, I'm sure they'll have rematches and we'll feud for a minute now. But, yeah, I was just kind of mad with the way that that went off, just like, oh, could have fucking. So then anyway, they end the show with the Shield. Turning face, more or less. They were going to do the Daniel Bryan Triple H rematch, and everyone came in. Orton and Batista came in and fucked him up and everything, and then Triple H comes down to more or less just go in there and get the fucking win, and the Shield comes down and turns face, so now it's going to be a big, you know, four-on-four type match, and good. Yeah, I'm really glad they went the direction of just turning the Shield face rather than breaking them up, because I know there was a lot of talks of them breaking them up, and they teased that a bunch, and yeah, I'd rather see them get over as a whole. I mean, they could very well turn on each other still, but it'd be cool to, you know, see them as a team with a face run as well. So we'll see how that goes, see if they stick with it or if they do still break them off. The other thing, a little bit confusing, was Cesaro signed up to be a Paul Heyman guy. So what seemed like a complete face turn, and I mean, he was still getting the cheers and everything and big smiles and all that, turned on Coulter to be a Paul Heyman guy, but I could swear that those are two heel managers. Maybe they're turning Paul Heyman's group face, but I couldn't imagine that. I really couldn't imagine that. He plays too much of like a dastardly, you know, fucking evil lawyer guy. You know, like his whole gimmick doesn't really scream, I'm a good guy. So I don't know. I'm kind of confused to see how that goes. You know, I'm sure we'll see it develop, but obviously a big difference in Cesaro's character as a whole. I also noticed they started just calling him Cesaro. Like, they seems like they're phasing out the Antonio. So, but yeah, I wonder, because he's definitely getting the response. They're really starting to pop the swing and everything else. So now with Heyman, I wonder. So it should be interesting, though. I think that's that. As I said, they had the WrestleCon over the weekend, and from what I heard, the DJ Masada match completely fucking bombed. They were chanting Freight Train during the match and everything else. And my opinion on it without seeing it is, number one, I'm of firm belief that DJ Hyde's a horrible wrestler. Obviously, he doesn't believe that. but I think within the CZW realm, he can get away with it because it's patched into CZW world. Everyone coming to see CZW, they identify with all the characters. You know, him in there with Matt Tremont, even though he swears he carried him through the whole feud, Tremont was the one getting the reaction. Tremont was the guy. And, you know, Sammy, when he feuded with him, well, Sammy was the guy getting all the reactions. Sammy was the guy. I mean, Masada outside of the CZW world to just a crowd that's in town for WrestleMania, you know, and a crowd that's out there for the most part just looking to see whatever wrestling. They're not just diehard CZW fans. They're not just there for Ultra Violence and you know, I mean, they may very well be familiar with the characters. It's just not a CZW show by any stretch. You got Colt Cabana and Jeff Jarrett on the card, which, regardless of how DJ performed, guaranteed he walks around for the rest of his career still telling people, I headlined a card with, you know, I main evented and headlined a card above Jeff Jarrett and above Masato Tanaka. That'll be like a, you know, a pat himself on the back moment, even though whatever he did, he didn't fucking get over. So, I mean, it's just, It's one of those things, and I don't know when he's going to ever, if he is ever going to get through his mind that he's not essential on a card. He's really, really not. Like, they got Best of the Best coming up this weekend. He's got his fucking match on the card there. There is nobody that gives a shit about that. Like, that angle is not important to begin with. But on top of that, this is your biggest wrestling show. Let's just say wrestling show, because Cage of Death is like your WrestleMania. That's like your big blow-off to everything. And obviously the Cage of Death itself being a big ultra-violent thing, Tournament of Death being your most violent show, Tangled Web being another one that's somewhat of like a blend of the two styles. You know, you got your death match with the Tangled Web, and then you got, obviously, they blow off, you know, some feuds there and do some big matches there. Best of the Best is more of your, you know, straight wrestling for the most part, you know, a lot of spots and all that, but, you know, your showcase of wrestling, that's what people are going for. That's what it's all about. You got no world title matches as an off anything. All that's needed is a filler, whether it be, you know, a hardcore match or something, so that way, you know, those fans get their fill or whatever the case is, fine. Whatever the case is, it's going to be a filler match because the theme of the show is the best of the best. For whatever reason, he still thinks in his mind his angle is important that needs to be continued and interjected into that show because he thinks people care. And to Tommy Dreamer, and what are you paying Tommy Dreamer for a booking for a filler match? It doesn't make any fucking sense to me. It really fucking doesn't, because it's meaningless. Like, there's no way that match is any good. There's no way that match is any good. You know? I mean, fucking prove me wrong. I would love to see that happen. But I am going to Best of the Best. You know, like I said, big fucking crazy breaking news because, you know, I haven't attended a show in like 2 years. So, oh, and actually they already have the big, you know, the matches that will fill that space are Shane Strickland versus Devin Moore in a ladder match, a Wired TV ladder match, Wired TV championship ladder match. Number one contender for the tag titles, you got OI4K versus the Juicy Product. Good. You got your. So what is the reason for a grudge match and to make sure that his feud gets tossed into this? I can't understand it. I don't see the reasoning. But anyway, should be a fucking awesome tournament. You got Caleb Konley, Azrael, and Biff Busick. These are the four first round matchups. There are three ways to start. Caleb Konley, Azrael, and Biff Busick. Bucks Belmar, Chuck Taylor, and Lucky 13. I don't know who Bucks Belmar is. So, I mean, I'm always up for, you know, new talent and seeing guys I haven't seen before. A lot of times those are the guys that really stand out. And Best of the Best, they've, you know, brought many people in over the years that, you know, I didn't know anything about. You know, Jody Fleisch back in the day, and, you know, blew everybody away. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing, you know, new guys in there too. A.R. Fox, Andrew Everett, and Mike Bailey. I don't know who Mike Bailey is, but A.R. Fox and Andrew Everett, you know, those two guys in the fucking ring together are going to put on some of the most amazing high-flying you've ever seen. So, looking forward to that. Drake Younger, Tim Thatcher, and Papa Don. Drake, this will be his farewell to the Indies, farewell to CZW specifically, before he heads to the WWE. That's really, really a special thing. And I'm glad I'm going to be able to go and, you know, see him before he goes, because Drake has always been a really good friend to me as far as, you know, friend-wrestler relationship goes, friend, fan, whatever you want to call it. But he's always been awesome. You know, his last big shoot interview actually shouted me and the girl out at the end. So that's, you know, disrespecting. I mean, definitely always been a big Drake fan, and he's always been just a super, super cool dude. So it'd be good to see, you know, send him off or whatever. And it'd be nice to see him win the joint too. But Yeah, we'll see. Should at the very least go to the finals. I think they'd be silly not to at least put them there for at least energy. You know, the energy for the tournament to be. Because, oh, you know, these shows run long. So when it comes down to the finals, you better get them something that's going to keep the crowd into it. And I think Drake Younger out there is going to keep that crowd fucking fired up. So, yeah, that's just my opinion on it, whatever. But I think that's about all I got. Oh, fuck. That's right. I decided I wanted to start exposing these pod cunts out there and really just kind of putting these motherfuckers where they're at. I'm going to start off with an old friend. And the thing is did the show with me for a long time, and it was because of Eric I started doing the show. However, it's been no secret to anybody who's ever listened to Eric. He's the worst at doing podcasts ever out of anybody on the entire internet. And, you know, as I got better doing this over the years, you know, I'm no professional by any stretch, never have, never will be probably. But it just became increasingly obvious that he was just fucking horrendous at this. Not only not being able to complete a sentence, but, like, just disappearing. Like, he would just not be on the fucking line anymore. He'd be like, Eric, well, that's why it got easy for me to do a couple hours by myself, because, well, shit, I got accustomed to him just disappearing at random times. So you'd hear someone, like, bust into his room, and the phone would hang up, and you'd never hear from him again, and that was the end of that. So just crazy shit like that would happen over the years, and eventually it was just like, dude, I just want to just do this by myself, because it was always unpredictable with him, but never in a good way. And he initially started doing the thing with the Golden Cravat, and that was his show with Pam, who's a morbidly obese, overly opinionated douchebag, as far as I'm concerned. She would just, I mean, she'd go on the show there, and she would really, she'd just say, like, really fucking rude, nasty shit about athletes. Like, that's not how you do it, and she can't fucking wrestle, and things like that. And, like, dude, you're lucky you can get in and out of a fucking chair still with the way you're built. And you're fucking telling females how they should be wrestling. Like, I don't know. She just said a lot of things over the course of them doing the show, and I would listen to, and I'd just go, what a fucking asshole. So I never liked her. And then Eric, you know, like I kind of gave him a pass because over the years, you know, well, yeah, he was, like I said, the reason I started this shit to begin with. But it is what it is. He ended up doing something where, you know, guys, how like I – and actually I didn't do it just now, but I would start off the CZW talk. I played that little John Moxley clip when they did you know, he was singing the Cage of Death song. And then I'd play, you know, whatever else I attached to it. So I was doing that for a while. And, you know, Eric was still listening to the show and shit, and I knew about that. And then all of a sudden, like, out of nowhere, they had brought the Golden Cravat thing back, and it was just, you know, just painful, just them struggling through talking and tons of dead air and just ridiculous opinions and just really just a brutal attempt at podcasting and continuously saying that he's been doing it for 6 years or whatever, because I guess since the beginning of the Golden Cravat, no matter how many years he would take off in between, he would still count that as time experience. So to me, it always just baffled me. But so I called him out on it because all of a sudden he just started using that. Oh, here's our intro for CZW, and you play that, and it's like, well, what the fuck? Now, I didn't invent the thing. I didn't make the song. I didn't do anything that's not my property whatsoever. But for someone who did several years on the same show as me, he didn't steal from any other show's ideas. I wish he did. It might be decent if he did. To just take something like that and not be like, hey, man, you know, fucking thought that was a great idea. Use that thing. I'm going to use it too. I'd be like, all right. Or, you know, hey, you know, what do you think about me doing that? You know, and I would have said, yeah, go ahead, man. I'll change it up to something else on my thing. Because I don't want to just be doing the same thing as everyone else or anything, you know? So I'm just like, it just kind of rubbed me wrong. I listened to it. I heard it the 1 week, and I'm like, that's something. And then the next week it was like, oh, here comes our CZW intro. And I was like, wait, what? This motherfucker. So then I just wasn't in a good mood that day when I heard it the second time. And I just fucking put him out there on Facebook. I was just like, you know, by the way, that was a bitch move and this and that. And he starts messaging me and, like, texting me at the same time because he's scrambling like a fucking maniac. And he's like, oh, I found that on YouTube. It's like, dude, I know where it came from. I'm not, like, saying you stole it from my house. Like, and again, it's not my property. I don't have that type of tie to this thing here. So you're acting like now you discovered it without listening to my show, knowing that you listened to my fucking show. So it's like... So I'm like, fuck you, dude. I'm not stupid. And that's really all I said. I was like, fuck you, fucking it's on, bitch. Like, I was like, fuck you, man. I ain't stupid. And I just, this motherfucker blocked me on Facebook and stopped doing his fucking show altogether. This was, like, maybe about a month ago. So he does another sports show or a sports opinion show with this other jerk-off from California. Now, I don't want to bash the other guy just for the sake of bashing him, because he does try. He's horrible at radio, too, but he at least tries, and I wouldn't have said anything about him unless the other dude was attached to it. So that is what it is, and I just want to play this. It's about almost 9 minutes, but this is a classic example of Eric's on-radio talents. This is the sports opinion show from last week. This is his first on-air appearance since I called him out and he ran away from all forms of radio. And I don't think I'm going to continue to rehash this or fuck with this dude. This is going to become a thing that I do, but, like, I have a list of fucking just, I like to call them pod cunts, and people who just do these fucking shows and just sound like complete fucking clowns. I decided to start with this dude because I got history with him or whatever, but I have a lot of these fucking douchebag shows that I have to fucking call out, and I'll be doing that gradually over time. Might not be a weekly thing or whatever, but, you know, I've never fucking bit my tongue unless I was on fucking Novocaine coming off a dental surgery or some shit. That never fucking bit my tongue, and it's not going to start now, so... These motherfuckers, anybody who pays a couple bucks or has the ability to just hook their shit up and run a podcast, runs a fucking podcast now. And it's not like this competition. Like I said, I listen to a bunch of them. I have a lot of them. I'm fucking friends with them. I'm cool with you know, my dudes over there at the Wrestling Soup. I don't always agree with everything they say, but I know the dude, and I think he's a good dude. You know, I think they're good dudes, and you know, they run an entertaining show. What they do well. Whether you agree with them or not, they do something that is worth listening to. And them doing a show, to me, makes perfect sense because they're good at it. And they consistently put out a product that you can consider a product. The MLW podcast I just started listening to recently, great shit. I mean, great opinions and entertaining and just really good stuff. Conan on there, so you got an actual wrestler too. Colt Cabana does great interviews. Like I said, not really my taste for the most part because he sounds like a game show host, but what he does well. His style of things is not necessarily my flavor, but he does his flavor fucking perfectly. You know, Stone Cold does the Stone Cold thing, which I kind of grew wary of after a little while. It's just got old for me or whatever, and I'll probably pop in and listen to a few of them soon because it's been a while since I've listened to them. But there's a lot of shows out there, but there's a lot of them that just do this shit and they sound like fucking assholes. So anyway, like I said, this is this one for this week. I'll play this and then I'll come back, you know, comment a few things on it, and then I'll wrap this thing up. So check this shit out.
See you live as always from San Leandro, California. I believe Eric Williams is on the line. Eric, are you there? Eric Williams. This is Matt calling Eric Williams. And I tell you guys, it's crazy over here. We got sun, rain, sun, rain.
What is going on there?
Eric Williams. Eric, what's going
up?
On? Finally.
Well, that was a good lead-in.
What's going on?
How's the weather over there in PA?
How you doing?
Good, good.
Yeah,
how are you doing?
No answer to the weather.
No, that's good. Yeah, yeah. Good.
Are you digging snow out of your driveway again?
No, there's no snow. Why, you can't hear me?
No snow, huh? I can hear you now. I couldn't hear you before.
Yeah, I couldn't. I didn't hear the unmuted at all.
Ah. Well, now you're on, so you're good.
I'm on. I'm live.
Yes, we are live. Ladies and gentlemen, we've done something very special for today. The special edition of the Sports Opinion Show. We are calling it We the People.
First of all, we've got something special in store for certain person on the show.
I apologize.
Oh, really?
Because what
y'all
earlier
hear
this past week,
this
was
his
birthday. It was
yeah.
Your birthday. It was your birthday this past weekend. You turned the big 38.
Yeah, you wish.
So
you
what
wish.
I'm going to do, I'm going to do something. I'm going to do something interesting. It goes a little something like this. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Matt. Happy birthday to you.
Can you believe this shit?
You old fart.
Eric Williams, I appreciate that. That's your fast version. That's the fast way of singing happy birthday, huh? There's no audio machine or anything like that, ladies and gentlemen. That was Eric. What's that?
No, I said feliz cumpleaños.
Oh, man. But, yeah, ladies and gentlemen, it's WrestleMania weekend. Also, a big thing going on with the NFL. Man. First, things are heating up in the NFL. We've got so much to talk about that I hope we can fit it all into a 2-hour show. But what better way to make this show more interesting is that we want you to call in and tell us how you would really vote as we the people get together. In other words, what would you do? Like, let's start with Eric Williams. Eric, would you actually book the show the way that they've got the pay-per-view booked up instead of
yep.
this Sunday?
Yep, I like it a lot.
So you wouldn't change anything?
No. They know what they're doing.
Compelling.
You wouldn't even slightly change who would win what matches?
I wouldn't change anything. I don't think they need to change anything.
Well, that's a very interesting way of putting it.
Because honestly, the people that are there are there for a reason. They want to be there. Hold on one second.
Right.
Hold on a second. This fucking
As Eric Williams said, everyone is there because they want to be there. I have the full WrestleMania Raw
and
Impact
results. Honestly, okay, now real quick, I want to get this off my chest. I need to get this off my chest. They're in the situation they're at because of a certain asshole named CM Punk who decided right before the biggest event of the year that he wanted to take a break. Okay, and for somebody who says that he cares about the fans, he doesn't give a shit about the fans. He cares about himself. He's a, you know, all he cares about himself. So they're in the predicament that they're at because of that, you know, one person.
Exactly.
It would be a
exactly.
total different pay-per-view if CM Punk was involved. But because CM Punk took his ball and went home and bitched about it, you know.
Yeah, that's
you don't just say, oh, give me a, you know, give me an opportunity, and then once I realize I don't need you guys anymore, I leave. You know?
Yeah, and it's a very sad situation.
He didn't care.
Exactly.
Who you got in the chat room?
We got DDP. We got your boy in the chat room.
What's up?
Yeah.
Apologize for having some issues on Thursdays. Haven't been doing the show for a while. Don't know what's happening yet with the show. So.
No idea.
Oh, so you haven't been doing the Golden Cravat Wrestling Show,
no,
right?
No, I haven't done it in a while.
Wow. And it sounds like Eric Williams just opened a cold one.
What do you mean?
It sounded like you were popping open some type of beverage over there.
No, that was a couple minutes ago, but I poured some lemonade.
Lemonade.
It was a long day at work, okay?
Oh, I believe it. I believe it.
I just got home. So I got home and took a shower and was just on in time to... Yeah.
I get it. Well, ladies and gentlemen, everybody knows that everybody can be especially... in the wrestling business, but this is different for the that we've had it in the well. It's been around in all kinds of sports.
Not too much longer.
Territorial
folks.
About their uniform numbers, and in most cases, when they go to a new territory team or a new team altogether, they can negotiate to get the jersey number from whoever had it, like a role model that they've always looked up to, and that's the case with DeSean Jackson. Who wore number 10 in Philadelphia, and it seems that he liked to keep wearing it. But there's one big problem. That number is taken by quarterback Robert Griffin III, the face of the franchise. Jackson said he doesn't care. He wants it anyways. He wants to make the Washington Redskins a favorite in the NFC East. Eric, do you think that he can wear RG3's uniform? Oh, I guess I lost Eric Williams there for a second. I'm not too sure about that. If, you know, DeSean Jackson can get RG3's number.
There you have it, folks. That hilarious bit right there was actually the last he heard from Eric. That was 8 minutes, 52 seconds there, and that was the entire time that Eric was on the two-hour show. So he had lost Eric for a minute, and then he was stranded for the rest of 2 hours by himself because Eric, with zero explanation, didn't show back up. So he was gifted with Eric showing up, tremendous amounts of dead air, a bullshit opinion about CM Punk where he calls him a bitch because clearly... someone who's in ridiculous shape and is a fucking what he is clearly has every right in the world to call a fucking athlete a bitch. You know, why wouldn't he? So he's got that opinion. Zero to offer otherwise. The fucking other guy is trying to make some kind of conversation with him. He's giving him nothing back. He's giving him fucking nothing. The dude's grasping his straws, and he's just like, yep, that's what I got. Yep. He's like, oh, yeah, he cracked open a cold one. He's like, what? Well, you know, I heard something. Oh, no, that was a minute. Then he goes, yeah, I got home from work just in time to, yeah. Like, what the fuck was that? I don't know, man. It's just hilarious, and the amount of dead air is just fucking unnerving. Like, and that's the type of shit you would have to deal with, and that's why I got accustomed to talking as much as I do, because, well, I'm a talker anyway, but it was like Ask dude a question, get nothing. Oh, shit, I better keep talking. And after a while, it's like, dude, I'm doing all the fucking talking. Why don't you get the fuck out of here? And that's where we ended up. But, like I said, that's my first one I kind of had to put out there because, holy shit, that's a lot of dead air. And this poor fucking guy, like I said, I feel bad for him. I wouldn't have went out of my way to bash him, and I don't really listen to just random sports shows. I listen to some random wrestling shows that come up with something, but I don't really listen to many random sports shows. I got my dudes over there at Sports Den that you could definitely check out after this show. And, you know, check them on the archive, and they talk ample amounts of different sports, hockey, baseball, football, basketball, everything. So they cover the whole spectrum. But don't really listen to this, so I would have had no reason to even know that this guy did a podcast or anything, but Eric was attached to him, which you would think gives, you know, oh, wow, like he brought more people in, but who the fuck listens to that shit on a regular basis? Poor fucking guy, man. And then he finally gets through to something, he's going, okay, he's got a whole topic set up, and then it's like, so what do you think? Lots of dead air, and then, oh, guess he's not there. Fuck. So anyway, that's all I got. Check out Stern Nation. They're coming up. I think they got like an anniversary show coming up. I lose track of time, so I don't know how many. I think they got to be up to like 3 years or 2 years. They're up there at this point, a couple of years in. And check out my dudes over there talking about, you know, all the Stern happenings. And check out, like I said, Wrestling Soup, tomorrow night, they go on at like 7 o'clock, I believe. They've been on kind of hiatus. Mish just got some supercomputer that he could probably fly a plane with, and, you know, from the ground, of course. And, I mean, the dude is stepping his whole game up as far as his whole operating system. He's going to be able to do a whole lot more audio-wise, and the dude's fantastic at audio editing, and you know, he taught me a little bit. That's why I was able to put together the whole DJ Kingston thing, which I did myself, but you know, off of a program that he taught me how to use and stuff like that. So and I really do have a few more projects in mind. I just haven't, like I said, I got movies, I got wrestling shows, I got all sorts of shit that I want to see, just don't really have the, like, a chunk of time to put just in one direction. Like, I'll go do this, I'll go do that. But it's more or less work, gym, home, sleep, work, gym, home, sleep, you know, that type of thing. So it is what it is. And, you know, one day off a week, I'm not just sitting in front of the computer for that giant block of hours or in front of the TV. Right? So anyway, yeah, check out all those shows. Those are my dudes over there. And that's what's up. So check everybody out. I'll check you motherfuckers out next week. And I'll definitely have a whole best of the best show to review for you guys. Hopefully I'll put together some kind of bit. I don't know. I got to help a dude move on Sunday after best of the best. So I'm not seeing a lot of time that I could possibly do that. But either way, check it out next week. Best of the best to talk about. Peace.
The cat in the house. Cat in the house. Let's get to the cat in the house.
Yakuza Kick Radio. Kill them all. Back on top. Think about it. Fuck Hulk Hogan.
These motherfuckers are geniuses.
Keep it up, my nigga.
What the fuck?
But you go to the back, and you tell your boss that there's a new Yakuza in town, and it's Yakuza Kick Radio, and we're taking over.